Welcome back. So our topic on this episode of Rapture Watch is very interesting. It's timely, and it's something we should know. Understanding the seals. Well, I'm not speaking any theological language. Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof? Understanding the seals. That's our topic for this episode of Rapture Watch. Once again, God bless you, sir. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, I saw you are cleaning your glasses. Cleaning.
Yeah, so that I will see what you are saying.
Okay. Sir, we know that this language or terminology, this word, the seals, is not something new to the end-time message. End-time message believers.
You mean followers of the ministry
Followers of the ministry of Billy Graham. Thank you, sir. Thank you for qualifying my statement. Yes. Because we know that one of the hallmarks of Billy Graham's ministry was the opening of the seals. In fact, before 1963, he pointed people to the seals. He pointed people, he kept on talking about something coming ahead, something coming ahead, something coming ahead. And then, starting from 1962, in a message he preached, SARS, what time is it? He started talking about the seals, the appearing of seven angels who told him to go back home, where he traveled from, where his home was.
That's right.
And then, in March 1963, We have what we call the revelation or the opening of the seals. It occurred. And between from 1963 to 1965, it started pointing people back to the seals. So, and this is also known as the third pool of his ministry. So that's why I said it's one of the hallmarks, even though the greatest hallmark of Billy Graham's ministry. Okay, understanding the seals. So we say the seals have been revealed and have been opened. It was revealed or opened in the ministry of Billy Graham. Sir, do you agree with that?
Oh, you have another quote. You can see I have to take a deep breath.
Okay, sir.
This is because it's not a yes or no answer. I need some explanation.
Okay, this was taken from a quote. This is the second seal where he said this. 1963, this is March 19th. He said, we are here. Something is fixing to happen. Abraham knocked on the pulpit four times. I don't know why. I don't know when. I don't know what is going to happen, but I know when it's going to happen. But I know when it is going to happen. But it is bound to be because he is revealing it right now. He doesn't do anything unless he makes it known. Amos 3. He makes it known first, and he promised that these things will come in the last days and the seventh church age at the end of it, when the messenger has revealed. When the messenger has revealed. There it would be. It would be revealed. It would be revealed.
Those when the messenger is revealed or has revealed.
Well, this is his language. Okay. When the messenger has revealed. Maybe he say when the messenger has revealed.
Yes, okay.
There it would be. It would be revealed. Those broken seals will be revealed. And here they are now. This in the name of the Lord. Believe it, friends. Yes, sir. Come out of Babylon. This is William Graham talking.
And your question is about whether William Graham opened this.
Yes,
exactly.
In fact, we have two languages. So let me start with the first. We have a group of message believers of William Graham, who say the seals were opened by William Graham. Do you agree with that, sir?
That is why I took a deep, let me take a second breath again. There is one peculiarity about the ministry of William Branham.
Okay.
As reflected in the followership of that ministry. And I am also a follower of that ministry. I want you to take note of that. That I am so much a follower until some denominational people have had reason to challenge me that are you preaching Christ or you're preaching William Branham? And I quickly adjusted myself because in my quest to cause the people to hear what William Branham was saying, I may have been going extreme in it. And then the purpose was going to be defeated because I was not going to make people to worship William Branham, and it was tending towards that. So I quickly adjusted, and instead of talking about the man William Branham, I decided to be preaching the message William Branham brought. You know, since my motive of pointing people to him was to afford them the opportunity to hear directly from him.
Okay.
And but you know, there was a way the enemy was trying to hijack it.
Yes, sir.
And but I God gave me the wisdom, since the motive was to make them hear the message. Then it's the same thing. The emphasis is the message, not the man. So I decided, rather, let me get a hold of the message and tell them the message, and de-emphasize through whom the message came. And even in doing that again, I invoked the wrath of the followers of William Branham, who now began to think I am not giving him the honor that was due to him. You see, so here am I in the middle, but I think I should remain in that middle. Yeah, because we are talking about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, not the gospel of William Branham.
Amen.
Not the gospel of any man. There's only one man, and he's the mediator between God and man.
Amen.
And the only man God gave us is that man, Jesus.
Amen.
And all the rest are the servants of that man, Jesus.
Amen.
And so I stand in the middle.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to the seals, because of the importance of the seals to our salvation, a man, William Branham, lays so much emphasis on it. There's a way it was presented that made it look as if it was truly the hallmark of his ministry. You see, and so all the accolade and all the honor and all the glory associated with it, especially the idol, those idolizing him, hijack it, and including me. You know, I made a lot of mistakes initially in the presentation.
Mistakes.
Yeah, a lot. I repeat, a lot, and I've asked God to forgive me.
Wow.
Yeah, because it was wrong. Now, you see, there is a man. I got a video of him sometime last week. One of my precious brothers sent it to me. He, you know, he's a prophet. And he prophesied that Donald Trump will win the just concluded American elections. And he had given other prophecies in the past that came to pass. And he gave that of Donald Trump. And today, Biden has been sworn in, contrary to
the prophecy.
So he quickly went back and in sincerity saw where he missed it. And he's apologizing to the whole world in a video.
Wow.
I have the highest respect for such a man. And from now on, whatever that man says, I will be taking it very, very seriously because I know he's sincere.
Wow.
You see, he owned up that he made a mistake. And you are telling other prophets that give the same thing, they should know where they missed it. He missed it, you know. And this is why, where he confessed, where he missed it. The prophecy of, I think it's Jeremiah, chapter 23.
Yes,
this 30. Is 30. This is what he said, in verse 30, yes.
Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor.
Again.
Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor.
Verse 31.
Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith.
And verse 32.
Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies.
Cause my people to err by their lies.
And by their lightness.
By their lightness.
Yet I send them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit these people at all, saith the Lord.
Now, what is it to steal? What did he say?
Steal my words, everyone from his neighbor.
Not from his neighbor.
Yes, sir.
And in literary world, that is plagiarism. Do you understand?
So there's spiritual plagiarism.
There is prophetic plagiarism.
Prophetic.
Yes.
So, sir, not to cut you off, are you saying that when I come, let's say Brother Gabriel gave a prophecy or received a message from the Lord, and I come to you and start saying, this is what I saw, this is thus says the Lord, and it's not me that received it?
Yes.
Are you saying it's wrong?
If it's wrong, except what is plagiarism? Is to give reference to where you are getting that from, then you are not guilty of plagiarism.
Okay.
According to Prophet Gabriel Onyejaka, which I believe Donald Trump will win. Now, it's not you now giving the prophecy. Now, but this is it. You listen to Gabriel. Prophesying, then you run off. And you come and now say, I am telling you, this is thus said the Lord, Donald Trump is going to win. Now you have stolen the word from him. Now the truth about it is this, you know, you are going to say what God did not tell you. Your presentation will be different.
I see.
That's it.
I see.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Your presentation will go with a margin of error. Because when he was explaining what the Lord told him, you did not even wait to catch it completely. Since he's the one that speaks.
Wow.
You just run off. Before he even lands, you have taken it to say, so that they will say you are the one that first said it. Even if the one from the right prophet speaks now, you know, he will not be only confirming your own vainglory.
Vainglory.
And God is against it.
Plagiarism.
Prophetic plagiarism.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
Now, and that is the position of every Christian. You are not to repeat what another person says unless you have reason to believe it to be the truth. And if at any stage at all of your followership of that ministry, you see something that sheds more light to what that person says, and you refuse to accept that light, further light, and hold on to whoever you are following, then you know that you are now no more being led by the Holy Ghost. You continue your error and confusion. Now, am I saying that William Branham was wrong? No. I didn't say he was wrong. But I am saying here that some of us, we are guilty of repeating what somebody else has spoken, believing that the person is correct. Did you hear me make a statement, for instance, that throughout, no man has been able to get the revelation of the seals. Only the man William Branham, he's the only one that has ever
said that.
I said it several times.
Yes, sir.
No man, and according to William Branham, that he himself He didn't know.
That's true.
And he said, the angel of the Lord just told him to go every day.
Yes, sir.
The first seal.
Yes.
The angel will come.
Yes, sir.
He never knew what was there before.
Yes.
Until it was open.
Between March 17th.
Between March.
And March 24th.
Yes. Thank you very much.
1963.
And yes, throughout that week.
Yes, sir.
That was what he was doing every day.
Mm.
And the cloud that was formed, the mystery cloud over Arizona in America.
Mm. Yes, sir.
Now was a vindication.
Mm.
Because according to him, it was the angels.
Angelic visitation.
That he brought.
Yes, sir.
This revelation.
Mm.
That, you know, so it became the crowning of his ministry.
Mm.
Which no other minister has had the grace to understand what was in that seal.
Mm.
So we believed it and we kept preaching it.
Mm.
But one day, I came across a critic of the ministry of William Branham.
Wow.
Serious critic that want us to believe William Branham is false. He spent 40 years following the ministry of William Branham. He was born by a follower of the ministry. He grew up and nothing else he knew about Christianity than through the eyes of the revelation of the followers of the ministry of William Branham. And he said certain things came clear.
Mm.
And it began to ask questions.
Wow.
And he's out to prove to the whole world that that ministry was false, according to him.
Mm.
Well, and he says some things. Brethren, if there is, I want you to note that before the light shines, this light you are seeing here in the studio here, before it shines, there must be two wires there.
Mm-hmm.
A negative wire and a positive wire.
That's right, true.
For that light to shine, if there is no negative, that positive cannot produce the light.
True, sir.
True.
It is a principle of life. Mm. That is the principle of democracy. Where there's dictatorship, nobody can question it. Mm. The people is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beauty of democracy. There must be opposition.
That's true.
For the government to tow, if not, anything you do wrong, opposition will raise the people against you and distort you. So because of the opposition, then, you know, you make sure you rule properly according, you know, to the constitution and what is expected of you according to the mandate given to you. So also in ministry, you know, any ministry that is of God, God will permit opposition.
Mm.
Any ministry that is of God must permit, there must be enemies of that ministry.
Mm. Wow.
Pastor Moses, do you have enemies too? Plenty.
Seriously.
I have more enemies than you will imagine.
Wow.
There are people that will never commend me if I drop any good revelation. But immediately I misplace any revelation, a mistake, they go on air. We told you. Imagine, how can he say this?
Any ministry that is of God.
I repeat, any ministry that is of God must have opposition.
Mm, wow.
And the purpose of it is to keep the light shining. Brethren, the Bible says we as Christians, we are the light of the world.
Amen.
How can you shine for that light without the negative?
Mm.
Every believer, so also with the ministry.
Mm.
So when I see opposition, like there is a young man that has taken it upon himself, you know, he was formerly, they will always be people who were with you before, so that it can be very, very effective. You know, they know your language, they know everything, then they go, you know, when they go, then the devil uses them for that ministry, because it's not a ministry of God. It's a satanic ministry, you know. And then you see the way they are attacking me, you know. He's been attacking me on social media. I'm not on social media, so it's people that call my attention sometimes to it. And one of the lawyers in the church, he told me, he said, I should not mind the man. He will soon run out of gas. What came to my mind is he will never run out of steam, I mean, because the it's a ministry. As long as I'm alive, except something else happened to him and he's unable to perform that task, then the devil will raise another one again. You know, it will never stop. You know, so you now use them to now make sure that you stay in life, because you know if you do anything wrong, they will hit you.
That's true.
So it helps you. You know, if there's any pastor listening to me now, never you get discouraged when you face opposition, either within or without.
Wow.
And remember, there are storms to distract you. But the truth is, if it is of God, the light shines brighter.
Amen.
The tougher the opposition, the brighter the light shines.
Amen. Wow.
You know, the day Satan knows that he's a minister of God to perfect us, you know, he will do that job less. So that we will not be perfected. And so some people, they came out and they are picking some of these things. You know, they're picking some of these things. And there are some questions that are asked by the opposition, which is supposed to check us, the followers of this ministry.
Yes, sir.
So that we know where we dwell. You know.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you dwell on vindication, every vindication will be questionable.
If you dwell on vindication.
If you dwell on vindication.
Okay.
You know.
For instance, the pillar of fire.
Now,
pillar of
fire. You see the pillar of fire. They are arguing that it is a light. It is a reflection on the negative, on the camera. And there are statements, for instance, that that are made.
Wow.
That follow it. That there is what's his name? The questionable director of questionable documents of FBI, Dr. Lassie something, and they've gone to investigate, and what they found out, and they're telling you, the enter message believer, disprove what we have found out.
Wow.
And none of you is able to disprove it.
Wow.
And they are saying things like, that picture is the only supernatural picture and all that, and it's hanging in the American Hall of Fame. And they are still looking for it in the American Hall of Fame. And it's not there.
Wow.
Do you understand? I'm going somewhere.
Yes, sir.
I want you to understand.
Yes, yes, sir.
Because this is a great opportunity for your question that will help me say something that will line up people who followed the ministry of William Branham because of a truth they had. There is something they had that is helping their spiritual life.
Amen.
And that they were not looking for a man to follow, but they were looking for a truth to hear. So if you know, if you look for a man to follow, it will be your idol. And when they speak anything against that man, you'll be offended. I was offended when Olukoya spoke the things he spoke concerning William Branham. I was very, very offended. You know, but I'm more matured now. That's the truth, because I mean, it was very obvious. Though I still believe that, you know, Olukoya got his information wrong, because he must be saying something based on what he had. You know, that William Branham died
a drunkard.
I mean, you know, everybody knew how he died by an accident, and he was not drunk, but the report says a drunken
driver.
Though these same people investigating have a different story altogether.
Wow.
And but that is not, it's not how he died. How does it affect my salvation? You understand? You know.
That's true, sir.
You know how he died. Whether he was a drunkard, William Branham is not my standard for my Christian character.
Wow.
So if he say he was a drunkard, I mean, what has that got to do with my salvation? Mm. It's not his blood that saves me. Mm. So a drunken man's blood cannot save me. Mm. So why am I bothered about the amount of alcohol in his mm. blood? And my destiny, according to the Bible, is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Not that man.
Amen.
Which will bring us to the series later to see that William Branham, you know, was not the one that was qualified. We will come to that later to open the seals.
My God.
So why, you know, I'm saying this as a foundation because you asked a very relevant question.
Yes, sir.
So that people will understand my answer and understand how I follow that ministry.
Amen.
Because I still follow it. You know, I am still a follower of that ministry, but I'm following with a different understanding from so many people I know. And that's why many of them will not relate with me.
Wow.
Whether it is outside there or within the country. Many, in fact, I don't even remember who is following with, you know. Those who are close to me, you know, many of them are only tolerating me. You know, and I know they are tolerating me. And maybe with the Christian spirit, you know, some of them. And some are just gnashing their teeth each time they hear me. And they go into the net and they will not, you know, criticize objectively. So I say this because when these critics began to bring some posers, and I looked at it and I went back, based on their posers, I then understand that contrary to what we believe and the understanding of what that man William Branham was doing in his effort to call our attention to what the seals was all about, that William Branham did not open the seals.
Wow.
William Branham did not reveal the seals.
Not just that he didn't open it.
I said two things. He did not open the seals. He did not reveal the seals.
Okay.
What William Branham did with the seals is the same thing he did with the Godhead.
Sir, what might happen in 1963?
Is the same thing that he did with the Godhead. Let me learn the first. I'm getting angry already. Like they all do. I say what William Branham did with the seals is the same thing William Branham did with the Godhead. It's the same thing he did with the revelation of the water baptism. It's the same thing he did with predestination.
Okay.
It is the same thing he did with all this revelation, for his ministry is the ministry of perfection. William Branham did not bring anything new.
Wow.
I repeat, William Branham did not bring any new revelation.
So the seals that we're talking of today.
Everything that William Branham preached is what other ministers preached before. But they ran off with them, and William Branham brought all these revelations together to give us that perfection, because these are the revelations the church, our apostolic fathers held onto. Now, there are revelations that we are given that we fulfill at our time. And that is the duty of every minister, to call your attention that this scripture is being fulfilled at our time. And you don't need a prophet to tell you that COVID-19 is a fulfillment of verse 3 or verse 4 of Revelation, Matthew chapter 20. The First World War, the Second World War, you don't need a prophet to tell you that now. It's already prophesied in the Bible. Events make prophecies clear.
Amen.
Now, Daniel, for instance, was given a revelation about what will happen to his people.
That's true.
And Daniel asked, he wanted to know, when will these things be? He says, it's not your time. When the time comes, it will be revealed. Seal up the revelation.
Yes, sir. Daniel 12.
Daniel 12, verse 3 or 4, something like that.
Yes, sir.
He said, seal it up until the end time. Now, it is, you know, he said, the wise shall understand.
That's right.
You see? And why? Why would the wise understand? because they will be studying.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You understand?
Amen.
Daniel is a type of the bride that understood by books.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
The wise will understand why. They will be watching. And this watching is not a prophetic watching. That is why Jesus Christ, I say this with all passion, with all sense of responsibility. That is why Jesus Christ spoke in Matthew 24. He said, when they say he is here, he is there, he is an inner chamber, he is this. Anytime, what he's telling is that when they begin to lift up any man, that he is the one, he said, don't do that. When I speak like this, they'll be angry.
Wow.
He said, this is how it will happen. The light will be traveling. And where the carcass is, the carcass is the word for your day. The carcass for our days, the carcass for perfection.
Amen.
Yes. And he will always use somebody to spearhead every revelation that he has. And all of a sudden, you know, God raised up this man, William Branham, and now he's bringing all these things that has every denomination to go about and brought it, including the seals, because these seals we are already preached. And almost word for word,
wow,
what somebody like Clarence Lackey, and I have the book. When I speak authoritatively, you know, because I had to go look for the book when I heard what the critics were saying. I had to go read it. And I found out that what they are saying is the truth. So now listen, are you saying that William Branham was wrong when he said an angel came to him?
Yeah, because I have a quote where he said,
let me hear you.
This is from a site, this is from a website, but they didn't put the year. He said, to the best of my revelation, this was given to me by God, foretold that it would be done. This is the truth of the four horse riders, to the best of my knowledge. So it's like this is given to him by God.
Yes. Now, when you say it's given to him by God, every sermon we preachers, it is by an understanding we receive from God.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, now, he is saying that it is very possible that he read, because he made references in his sermons. He even said he read the presentation of Clarence Lackey on this same issue. So it's not new to him. He knew what Clarence Lackey spoke.
That's true.
And he quoted them verbatim, word for word, full stop for comma.
That's right.
And since he said an angel brought it to him, that means it's no more fresh, because you cannot know this except by the inspiration of God. That means the same inspiration was given to Clarence Lackey, the same way as the inspiration was given to the oneness people that knocked off Trinity. So if William Branham come now and he's saying that the Spirit of God came to tell him, you know, that the oneness people, they are correct, and that God is not three, he is one. Now, will you say it's not God that told him, because God had told some other person who caught that revelation? God told him. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sir. Yes, sir.
But I'm saying that when you say he's the only one, you are saying it because you have not read from others. You're only hearing him. You know, and he didn't say he's the only one. He himself said he has read from other people.
That's true.
But what that angel came to tell him was to grant him better understanding of what he had read from other people. Because William Branham read wide. You know, he read wide. It's not just a prophet that sat down. He was also was receiving thoughts, said the Lord. He was teaching. And if you are going to teach, teaching is not thus said the Lord. Thus said the Lord gives instructions. Thus said the Lord gives revelation. But when you want to now place, you must be a reader. You must be studious. You must be one that study for you to be able to teach, because you'll be placing it. And if you don't have the ministry of a teaching ministry, you will mess it up.
Wow.
You know, so when it's teaching, you know, you have to know, when he is teaching, and then know when he is prophesying. You have to, you have to catch it. Yes, William Branham did not open the seals,
and he did not reveal the
seals. And did not reveal the seals.
Yes, he is not the one that revealed the seals, because he brought, pointed by what he did to the fact that it had been revealed.
He did not reveal it, but he pointed by the fact of what he did, that the seals.
And I remember he said something that he does not agree totally with what Clarence Larkin spoke.
He
said it.
One of the seals.
In one of the seals. You see? So he read. So with more understanding now by inspiration, then he is able to make it clearer what had been revealed before, but wrongly placed, which is what that ministry of perfection was all about.
Amen. Okay.
And you want to ask me, what of the vindication? That's why I told you.
Yes.
That's why I told you. You
know, of clouds.
Yes.
The visitation of the angels.
You seven know, angels, and that's why I said, if you stay on that, there'll be a lot of arguments. Okay. Therefore, you know.
But the voice that spoke on the day he was baptizing the 17th person, people heard it.
No, I don't know who heard it. It's William Branham's testimony.
Well,
I've not heard anybody that say he heard it. It's his own testimony. He had a voice. It's for his own ministry. He heard it. So you won't say that is vindication. That is, there are revelations I have received that's making me go about my ministry the way I'm going.
So nobody has come up to say they heard the voice?
No, I have not. It's his own testimony. And we believe him because we feel he has no reason to lie.
Sir, so you're saying also that means the visitation of the seven angels in 1963 is also his own personal testimony.
Well, we don't know who saw it. Nobody said he saw it. It's a personal thing. Him. He said he saw it. But that's why I said, you know, all the vindications and everything anybody has. Have you heard of Neil Frisbee?
Yes, sir.
Do you know his own vindication? When he's standing, life, rainbow will appear.
Wow.
Rainbow.
They said it all.
No, they said, physically.
Wow.
People see it. There are people that blood come out of their eye, come out of their hand. Blood.
Physical.
Not physical. You have to understand that. That is why the bride of Jesus Christ is not moved by any vindication. We are past that because every vindication, Satan can query it, can question. Magicians can even impersonate it. You know, if not, look at what is happening in the denominations. I don't know, I was sharing a testimony with you. I said I was watching a channel, and a young man who seemed to be having a healing gift, he wore his cap, you know, those rust, what do you call them? You know, put it upside down. That cap they put there, those musicians used to wear. And all over his hand is tattooed. And he's just gladly dressed like that. And he's giving testimonies, mighty testimony. And he's encouraging the viewers who are watching this program that there's a God that heals. Jesus heals. Jesus heals. So what he's preaching, what he's claiming as his ministry, is vindicated by mighty healing and deliverance. I'm going too far. In the denominations all around us here.
That's right.
Take it. People fall
down.
That's
true. That's true, sir.
I mean, in a dimension that we didn't even see in the ministry of William Branham. In a dimension that is not even in the Bible. You know, in a dimension, when you talk of discernment, we see discernment in a dimension that we didn't see in the ministry of William Branham. They discern you and everything. But we have known better than that.
Wow.
What are you saying?
Amen.
Then, whoever you are, we pick the Bible to confirm what you are saying.
Hallelujah. Wow. We'll take a short break to digest these things the pastor has said.
And before you take that short break, because you must be wanting to ask me, so who opened the book? And who revealed
the secret? That's my next question.
Thank you.
After the, after the break.
Because somebody will say, I just locked it up.
No, of course. We must continue from where you stopped, sir.
Okay.
Sir. You have just told us that William Branham did not review the seals.
William Branham
did not open the seals.
No.
But what he did pointed us to the fact that the seals have been reviewed.
Thank you.
That was the statement you made.
Thank you.
So when we come back from this break, we'll hear more from the pastor. We'll be right back.